What is up, everybody? This is Recap Rewind. I'm JLag.
And I'm NB.
And this episode is recapping and reviewing Riverdale Season 7, Episode 9. And it's called Chapter 126, Betty and Veronica Double Digest.
And don't forget, guys, stick around for the ending of the podcast. We're going to go through our recap roundups, our MVPs, our best lines, and your guys' recap roundup. So be sure to stick around for the end of the podcast.
As always, to our continuing listeners and our brand new ones, thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't already, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel.
Subscribe.
Let's get into this episode, y'all.
B&B.
So what do you think? B&B.
I liked it. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought that they did such a good job with both storylines, even though they don't really intersect at all. We don't really get like a B&B. We get a B&B moment, but it's kind of a montage. But right. I loved it. I find the stories that they're really unique this season. Like, even with Veronica's storyline, like, I'm thinking it's going to go one way and it goes a completely opposite way and it catches me off guard. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is cool. So I liked it.
I didn't hate it and I didn't, but I didn't not enjoy it. I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was a good watch. I think one of my biggest worries right now is, like, are we, like, I don't know if it's
I'm getting... Everyone has your worry. I feel, I read a couple of comments and they said the same thing. They were like, okay, but, like, what are we doing here? Like, are we going to solve the season or are we just going to, like, stay here? And I'm all like, I'm good here. Like, don't just...
You're like, let's stay. We're good. Yeah, you're like, I'm down. Yeah, I just feel like I want to keep trying to find, like, little nuggets that make us feel like we're coming back to something bigger and greater. Like, I wish I just knew, like, what the, like, vision and direction of this entire season was. Like, is it just to be like, we're going to be in the 50s, they're going to be dealing with some things that are still relevant to Canada, like, you know, to the world today.
Yeah.
And that is the end of it? Or, like, are we going to, like, lead to something new? Like, there are some moments this episode that I got excited about because I thought they were trigger points. I thought that they were points that were going to, like, be like, ooh, like, Betty's using her bobby pin now, like, again. You know what I mean? Like, there were moments where I was...
something. Yeah.
Exactly. And then, like, it just becomes, like, she just wants to come after, like, Dr. Werther's and, like, you know, there's some things about the story. And, like, I agree with you. The storytelling has been good. It's more just like, why are we having this conversation? Like, why is Betty... I was a little annoyed with what Betty was going through because I know that it was leading up to this conversation and having to, like, figure her out and, like, what she realized this episode, which I thought was great. I'm not saying that any of that's wrong. I'm just saying, like, why are we using Dr. Werther's as the vehicle? Why are we, you know, like...
Well, because in this universe, he's the villain. And I think, like... And I think by the end of the episode, we are sort of on track to sort of uncover, I think, the next thing, which is, like, who is this milkman? What the hell happened to Bradbury? Like, I think we're getting there. For me, I've always been about the journey because I feel like the writers just, they never get the ending. They never get, like, we always get to the ending with the Black Hood, the TBK, the Gargoyle. Like, we always got to the end where, like, this was it. Like, we were never happy. And so for me, I'm all about the journey. And so I guess I'm more content with where we are now and getting to see our characters, like, do these different things. I'm okay. I think they'll get there eventually. They will. I know. I hear you. And, like, people are saying the same thing. Yeah. So,
like, I'm split. Like, because to your point, I am enjoying watching it. If I were to pretend that 7 seasons haven't happened before this, like, or 6 seasons haven't happened before this, I'd be like, cool, Riverdale's fun. These characters are fun to watch. Like, they're going through some things that are really interesting and watching their growth is really cool.
Yeah.
But then the other side of it's like, but Betty's done this tenfold. She literally became an FBI agent who was kidnapped by a serial killer and put into a dungeon.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
To find her power. Like, we're telling the same story, but in the 50s, and it doesn't ring as strong because we didn't see the character go through that hardship. Like, Betty was traumatized. Like, that was her struggle. And I would have wanted to watch more of how she heals through that, how she grows and develops. And you know, like I start to worry about the fact that like we're going to be stuck in this 50s world all the way into the end, and we're just never going to be able to find that perfect marriage that maybe they are still trying to, like, maybe they are getting there. And like, I am hopeful, like you said, that we're getting to a point where things might start to pivot and start to change. But to your point as well, there's a lot of story to tell, and there's a lot of interesting like things that they can talk about in this world too.
And I think like along the way, and you guys, like our listeners, you guys have been so amazing with sort of picking up on certain things. And you guys always say like there's fragments of the original, you know, timeline in this timeline, but I don't see it. Like, I don't see that at all. Like,
even with Veronica's storyline,
okay, she's the business owner, great, but she's way more successful in this version than she ever, like she was so much more annoying in the other one. Like, she did all these weird things. This one, she actually is like a businesswoman. So, right. And obviously there's other storylines that we could look at, but I don't, even with Betty's, like, she's an FBI agent. Okay. So in this universe, what, she's like a sexual deviant, her dad's possibly be a serial killer again. Like, I don't get what those fragments are, if that's even what the writers are trying to put in there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, how are we supposed to piece this all together? Like, I'm more looking forward to seeing how this all comes together. And I guess to your point, like, yeah, we just have to sit and enjoy the ride, because like, we're getting what we're getting, y'all. Like,
yeah,
no matter how, what we say, we can bitch about whatever we want to bitch about, it being too slow, we're not getting what we need. But at the end of the day, like, this is what we're getting. So,
and you're enjoying it. Like, overall, I'm enjoying this rather than the last 5 seasons of out of the 7 seasons that we've gotten. You know what I mean? Like, I'm actually enjoying watching every episode.
I just feel like they're so different, right? Like, I can't even compare what was enjoyable about, like, there were some wild things that happened in the past 6 seasons that I can't deny were like really enjoyable to watch in their own right. This is just more rooted in something that feels familiar.
Like, has purpose. And
it stays kind of, it feels gentle and like the same.
It has purpose in its own timeline, but in the high level scheme of things, of like looking at it from like the whole series perspective, we don't know the purpose just yet.
Right.
But like, for where they are, I get it. I really liked Veronica's storyline this week. I really, really liked it. I thought that theater scene was so cool. Like, I was shocked. And like, as the audience, you're not always shocked, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, it was definitely a fun watch. Let's get into the episode.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So it starts off with the narration from Jughead. And he's sad. He's at Pop's Diner. He's talking about Mr. Rayberry's death. Sad, sad boy storyline this episode. And then it cuts to Betty at Dr. Werther's office. And we get like that iconic, I guess, like Betty font, like over her head. Cartoon font.
Yeah.
To start her digest, I guess. And they're just talking. He talks about the fact that she's off the Vixens now. Betty basically has to explain to him like high school is a sexual place.
Yeah.
Dr. Werther's is talking about the fact that Betty is off the Vixens now, and Betty talks about the fact that like high school is a sexual place, like, let's be real. And Dr. Werther's is like, no, it's not, it's an institution for your people to learn. And she's like, you're filling a bunch of hormonal teenagers into one place, it is sexual, like, I don't know what you're talking about. So he goes off to talk about like, what is your set for a sexual memory? And she has this like vision, and I guess like throughout her entire like digest, she has these like visions that come to her, and it shows her and Archie playing Operation on like the floor in their living room. And like the sun is like beaming on his face, and she's like, ooh.
And he like fucked it up too. It's like, eh, and he's like, oops. And she's
She's like, what?
She's like, that's hot.
And then she doesn't tell Dr. Werther's about that, though. She's like, I don't know what you mean. Nothing. But then he asks how often she thinks about sex. And there's like literally, like, this is the montage that we saw in the commercial, or like, the promo for it. She's like at school. She's making out with Archie. She's making out with Fang. She's making out with Jughead. She's making out with Veronica.
Veronica. And
Reggie. Yeah. Reggie got a shower scene with her. Yeah. I was like, damn. And then this one, she says she thinks about sex all the time. And
well, she says something interesting because she said, or he's, I don't know who says it, but he's like, oh, the studies show that boys think about sex every seven seconds or something, right? And then he was like, oh, well, that's boys though, like they can think about that, like it's different for girls. Like girls should not think about it at all,
right? Super sexist. And she was like, well, in that case, I think about it all the time, like, what do you want me to say?
She was like, I don't care, bitch.
She's like, fine. Like, I guess the one thing that I was kind of like not annoyed by is the Betty, and I guess it just goes back to the fact that, like, we've seen different versions of Betty in the past like six seasons. This Betty like seems very forthcoming to talk to him about all these issues. I guess not realizing that he's like a sketch douchebag that we know him to be.
She doesn't know yet, right? And she's being told by her parents, who are her guardians and her protectors, to like, hey, go talk to this man. Ultimately, I do feel like she knows that there's nothing wrong with her. She knows that deep down.
Right.
But I still think that like she's just kind of going along with what she's been told, and I got to talk to this person and whatever. It's just
true.
Yeah.
Just going with it. Yeah. So then she says, she's like, well, what about my dad? Because he says something along the lines like, sex should only be for marriage, and sex should only be to like have kids, whatever, all that stupid stuff. And she's like, well, what about my dad's dirty magazines? I saw them in his drawer. And then it kind of shows a little scene where she finds the magazines, and she turns and it pans over to her parents sleeping in separate beds. And I know that in the 50s and there was a time period where that was very common, like separate beds was,
my grandparents slept in separate bedrooms. like that was the tea.
People would push the beds together and like, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, so then that happens, and then Betty says, she's like, I don't even know if I want to get married. I don't even know if like that is going to be a part of my life. She wants to make an impact. She has this like really great line where she talks about the fact that like that shouldn't be my end goal. It should be like how
she wants
I want
to make
to, like,
change in the world and like do something,
which is great.
And do both. Not that that's like one thing. You should have one or the other, right? Like,
she's like, maybe it's both, maybe, but like, I don't want that to be my end all be all, like just being married. So then it cuts to Betty in her room, and Alice, of course, brings in a bunch of bridal magazines, and she's like, oh my gosh, Betty, like when I see you in this dress, it's going to be the happiest day of my life. And Betty's like, where is this all coming from? Like, we don't even, like, why are you talking about this to me? Like, she's not connecting the fact that obviously like Werther said this to Alice, and now Alice needs to like push the marriage thing or whatever. But anyway,
obviously, is that what she was doing? Like, she was like reinforcing what he was saying?
Yeah. Like, that it was already happening at the beginning of the episode. Like, she was like, here's some wedding magazines. I'd love for you to like be in one of these wedding dresses. And she's like, Mom, I'm not even dating anybody right now. What the fuck? Anyway, so then it cuts to Veronica at Riverdale High. And then it's her like Veronica Digest begins. Yeah. She is giving away free tickets to, I guess, like a James Dean double feature.
Tonight, double feature.
At the Babylonium.
Yeah.
And like, whatever, she's handing them out. Cheryl, who is the official like James Dean like fan club like president, she comes by and she's like, what is this? And Veronica's like, I'm doing a double feature. Like, they're free. Like, send them out. Like, we just want to bring a bunch of people to the Babylonium. They have a little bit of a spat, whatever. It's not a big deal. She all grabs the tickets. And she's like, I'll give them to my vixens. And then Veronica says, like, I'm going to be giving them to the Bulldogs. So, like, just...
like, it's my job. I volunteer as tribute.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. So then Clay and Kevin, as she leaves, like, Cheryl takes the tickets and leaves. Clay and Kevin tease her about the fact that, like, she's like... they're like, oh, you want to go talk to the Bulldogs? Or, like, just one Bulldog? And Veronica's like, hee. Like, you know, she, like, knows what she's doing. Then it cuts to the locker rooms. And Ronnie's, like, putting all the invites in to everybody's lockers. And sure enough, she, like, goes straight up to Reggie after. And she's like, so like, am I saving you a seat beside me at the Babylonium for this movie? I'd love for you to come. And he was like, sure, I guess. Like, he wasn't even really,
he's so hot, like, in this new role. He's like really hot.
His
like,
suave mente.
Because he's just like quiet. Like, he's not even like that typical Reggie character.
And he's all like just, fawning like, over cool. her.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like chill. Yeah, I was getting very excited about their potential.
Like, whatever. Where it was leading
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and then nothing even happened. So I was like,
So then it cuts to the Babylonium. Veronica, like, go, like, she's talking to Reggie at the counter. He gives her some money, and she was like, actually, why don't you
save
take
it,
me
boo.
Save that save 25 it. Cents, girl.
Save that quarter.
Yeah, all good.
You bought me dinner after with that quarter.
Yeah, exactly. You go buy me a milkshake at Pop's. So she asks him, like, do you want to like go for a drink after? And he's like, yeah, sure, sounds good. Then it cuts to Kevin telling her, like, girl, you got to get
she's
up here.
So, like,
and she was like,
he's like panicking. Like, you yeah. can tell he's like sweating and sweating. She's like, Kevin. He's like, Veronica. She's yeah. like, oh my God, like, I spoke to Reggie and like, we're going to go out. He's like, bitch, your fucking theater is like burning down. Like, get up here.
Like, she's what? Like, oh, shit. Focus. Focus. She's like, Right. I'm doing a business.
Right, I'm a businesswoman.
So she goes into the projector booth, and turns out that all the James Dean films that were sent over by the studio were all overexposed.
Oh, and unplayable. We know about overexposure at Recap Rewind, because a long time ago, your girl MB could not get the exposure right on her film.
Oh, God.
And a little certain somebody, J-Lag, had to literally develop my film for me.
Little photography
so cameras. A little like Recap Rewind tidbit. J-Lag and I actually met in, was it photography class?
Photography
like,
class.
Or was it art class? It was photography class?
Yeah, photography class.
It was photography yeah. class in high school. And we had a dark room and everything.
Yeah.
And I could not develop my film for the life of me. And every time I'd be like, J-Lag, can you go and just do my thing?
I got so good at it too, like doing it in really the dark.
You were really good. You were really like, I would be in there with you, but like I'd just be watching you.
I'm like, okay, done. Let's go. Let's develop this time.
But film. Yeah, that's a little tidbit. Little tidbit.
So
funny.
Yeah. So overexposed film is what we do here at Recap Rewind. And it's unplayable. They can't watch it. Like, it's not possible.
Which so is, guys, at that time, those things cost like thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah. Like, that's expensive shit. Like,
it's like and it's also devastating because like every single one of the films were overexposed. Like
the
I
frames.
Felt terrible.
Yeah.
For yeah. So she now has to go to this full crowd, this full audience of people, and be like,
see, so this
canceled.
Was the moment where I was like, okay, what is she gonna do? So in my typical like thinking of Veronica, okay, she's gonna try to swindle something. She's gonna try to like lie and like put on a show herself or something. Like, I'm like, what is she gonna do? But then she actually goes up there and she like admits, she's like, the like she gave up. She's like, the film's done. She's like,
can't.
I'm sorry, like the night's over. And then everyone got like cheese. They were like throwing shit at her. So right. It was another moment where I was like, what is she gonna do now? Like, I was starting to get invested in this and be like, okay, like how do you come back from this?
For sure. Yeah. I did not know what she was gonna do. You're right. Cause I was like, she can start singing. She can tell Clay to start singing. And
anything,
Kevin
like take off his
singing.
Shirt. Like, you know her.
It's true. So, no, I was interested to see like what she was gonna do. And she does have a few moments where it doesn't really work out for her, right? So, after the refund happens, like everybody demands a refund. She has to give all the money back. Reggie, at the end of the night, has been waiting, and she's like, honestly, like I can't come. So
yeah. She's like, do you not see my business right now?
It's like, my business is messed up.
My business
I gotta
needs
this out.
Me. And he's like, okay, no worries.
And he's like, I think they both agreed to like having.
He wasn't
a
even upset.
Though.
He was like totally cool. He's like, okay, yeah, like I get it.
Sounds good. The next morning, she's calling people in person or not person. She's calling people on the phone. You gave me a defective print. Like, what happened here? And he goes on to say like he doesn't know how it happened, but basically like tough. It's
sorry
tough
about
for
it.
You.
And she was like, "Can't you send us like another reel? Like send us more?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "We have none." And she was like, "Bro, it's like the most popular like movie like film. Right now, like, yeah. What do you mean you have none? Right. I just you know, like, we are film buffs and I love that whole like old Hollywood world, so even just like hearing these like conversations and like the dealings of like how they would do things,
like how they would
I liked it. I was interested
rent in or buy these films, yeah, from studios,
and you have to, yeah, call them and be like, like, we're a new theater, like, we need the film, like, it was interesting.
Distribution, like, that, yeah, whole concept of distribution, yeah, it's totally cool. Yeah. I'm sure nowadays it's like, send a file over,
yeah, it's like
a mail USB. Over a USB, yeah, you know, like, but anyway, actually I think they do still, anyway, I'm not gonna get into that shit.
I think you're right. I think it's like they still have to like load something, but it's not like, yeah, film, like, I don't know if it's like actual film.
I feel like it might,
because that shit cost way too much money, and like the insurance on that would be crazy,
would be insane.
Some idiot 16-year-old teenager would be ruining film left, right, and center. No,
they, well, look at this girl, that. She's ruining like millions of dollars already. She's got like fucking none. So he basically says, it's your problem. And then there's like a flurry of calls, like her, Clay, Kevin are calling all the studios up. Let's get this film. Turns out that they get rejected. Essentially, they're like blacklisted. The last call that she has, the, yeah, guy kind of infers like, I can't do business with someone who I'm doing business with their parents. Yeah. Click, bye. So that kind of confirms her suspicion that
they are doing something. Yeah.
Who are like screwing her up. And before she like starts swallowing that situation. I just
don't get
it.
Like, I still don't get why. Fine, they want to build a parking lot? Bro, the theater's going to make you more money than a goddamn parking lot.
I honestly really, I think that's the thing that I really hated about her storyline is, number one, the lodge parents are at it again, being just like shitty parents. We, yeah, already have that storyline.
Like, your daughter's excelling in something, like, be happy.
Let be like, what is it that makes her so unhappy? And I think the thing that like was really annoying too was when Clay was like, why are they gonna do that? Like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
Her only response was, they are the only ones that are allowed to win. Right. They'd rather see like even their own daughter lose. Like,
fail, yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of parents would do, like, I just don't believe
and
it.
And if you're gonna bring me her parents in episode 13 and make me feel like they deserve like a good ending, no, I ain't buying it, because who does this to their child?
Yeah, this is all types of, that's what I mean, like, I think this is even more severe than anything that Hiram had ever done, like, in the past. Like, by the end of this episode, kicking her out of the house, like push doing all this stuff, like kiboshing her entire like business. Like, he did a few things, but they were able to kind of like fight back with each other here and there. But like, this was extreme. And the fact that it was from both the parents, like, both parents,
yeah,
were like,
right. It's like Hermione, screw it, too. Yeah.
She's a monster. She's running her own business. Hiram. Which I don't understand. Like, I just don't get it. I feel like it's a stupid reasoning for her to just be like, they're evil. Okay, if they're evil, then like, maybe they should go to jail. Like, maybe they shouldn't, like, have a, like, I don't know why they even
care. I don't know why they just, why they didn't just like get like another sort of like family who didn't want her to succeed in this industry of theater and like owning your own business. Like, right. Why does it have to be always her parents like bringing her the fuck down?
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe her parents are just tied up and they just like cannot be around to support her endeavors.
Like,
and that's it. Like, they just can't like be there for her. Why does it have to be Hiram? Why does it have, yeah, to be Hermione actually sabotaging their own daughter? It doesn't feel
and like
believable to me at all. Anyway, she's 16 years old.
I know, and we could go on forever. But like, if you told me that like her parents had like a thing against like movies, I'd be like, oh, okay, like they legit hate movies. Like, they want to, right, get rid of a theater. You're gonna build a parking lot?
Girl,
it doesn't even, like, business-wise, doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't even connect to me at all. Like, and the fact that they even give a crap about what's happening in this small town when they live in Hollywood, exactly, and they have one of the biggest shows in all of the, like,
famous America. People. They'd want a theater to thrive so they could, yeah, go there, like, and, like, go. Perform.
And that's to your point. If they show up in episode 13 and they're like, Miha, I just, like, didn't want you to get into this, yeah, industry, and we just did whatever we could to make sure that you... Girl, we don't need, no, that storyline. It is bullshit. It is not even believable for you to be like, this is just, we're trying to like push you into the right direction by giving you some hard truths in life. And sometimes you just can't. No, you guys are going to come in, and you guys better come in hot and evil, because at this point in time, I mean, they're going to come in hot because it's Mark and Consuelos. But I just feel like it doesn't connect to me at, yeah, all. And, yeah, I'm disappointed because I feel like
Because otherwise it was a great storyline. Personally, for me, I loved her entire journey.
Like the back and
forth. The reasoning and like the intention of like the parents, I don't get it and I hate it and I'm not here for it.
Yeah, hated it. Clay does have an idea by the end of this and says, maybe we can connect to like the smaller studios who have like, you know, some like not as well-known films with like big stars and ask them if they can help us out.
Yep.
And then Veronica's like, ooh, B-movies. Like, I'm down for that. Like, let's do it.
I feel like Cami Mendez excelled in this episode. Like, she was so good. And sometimes I'm like a very hard judge on her. I feel like her acting is like, it's like questionable sometimes. In this one,
she's great.
She was like floating, like her lines were like delivering and like the humor behind it, the sass, like, oh my god, she was so good. Like, she was on fire.
She felt like she was in like in her mode, like in the right groove. Like, she knew what she was doing the entire time. Let's get them on the phone. It felt very natural. Anyway, I know what she did.
Yeah,
really, really good job. The cuts back to Betty and Dr. Werther's. He now asks, what is her most vivid sexual dream? And she says that she has a dream about being a teacher and she wants to like hook up with everybody basically. But mostly, she does say, mostly it's Archie.
Does that she say his name?
Yeah, she's like, mostly usually just Archie.
Okay.
And it shows the rest of the scene. They're like sexing all over the table. They're making out or whatever. And then she continues to say to Dr. Werther's, and then I turn around and like the entire class is watching.
Like watching.
So, and she's excited about it.
And like, she's in, like, yeah,
in her
like,
dream, she's
her
not
on.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
She's like, oh. And then he asks her, where does she think that this urge to be more sexualized comes from? And Betty says, I think it doesn't have to do with like me being sexualized. It's more, I just want to be seen, period. Like, I just want to have a moment to feel heard and seen and wanted
and like comfortable in your own skin and confident. Like,
yeah,
I loved it. I loved that line.
I thought it was a great way to like kind of bring that piece together. I'm over her sounding like she's like this sexual deviant. Yes. Like, I'm over it. Like, let's just talk about the fact that she's just a teenager. Like, where does this janky ass doctor have anything to say to anybody?
It's so fucking disgusting. And like, I'm sorry, but like, he was pushing her in that direction of like, oh, it's all sexual. And she's like, no.
Tell me
like,
more about your
back.
Sexual,
like, it's
vivid
not
dreams.
About that.
Like, what the fuck? Like, relax.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then it cuts to Pop's Diner and Veronica's picking up an order and she sees Jughead like with the books and he's like reading all the comics. And she asked him about a particular movie. What is it called?
The Crawling Eye?
The Crawling Eye, yeah. And this is the part that I'm kind of like annoyed that she didn't really like check in on him. Did you notice that at all?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
She just kind of like popped in and was like, hey, do you know this movie? And he was like, yeah, I really liked it. Mr. Rayberry really liked it too. And then she's like, anyways, so I'm looking for this movie. And I was like, okay, I guess.
You know what it is though, J-Lag? I didn't mind because I do feel like Jughead didn't give a shit about her either. Like, he really was.
I mean, he's wallowing. He's sad. He's
grieving.
No,
but like, when they were together, like, I feel like he was a little bit in his own world too. So like, I don't know. I guess she should, but it's Veronica. Like, I didn't even, like, if it was Betty, 100% I would have like been like, ask him how he's doing. But it's her, I'm like, she's gonna go do her own thing after. She doesn't even care.
But also, we could also assume that like maybe Jughead just didn't even divulge any of that information. Like, maybe he's just like sitting in a comic, like she didn't even know that he was dealing with all this stuff.
Yeah, she didn't know, but like, to your point, like, she could maybe tell that he's being like sad, but he's always like that.
She's like, anyways. So anyway, so she asked about this movie and she's like, I'm trying to like find a way to get it and bring some more energy to the Babylonium. And he's like, well, why don't you try this like gimmick that this other group did where they put like buzzers under seats when this certain thing happened, like people would get buzzed or shocked under their seats. She was like, ooh, so you're like selling the gimmick, not necessarily the movie, so people come to your theater specifically.
A vibe.
I was like, duh, 4D, welcome to 2023. So now she wants to kind of enact that. So she steals the idea and then she runs away. She's like, okay, bye, thanks.
I loved it. Yeah.
I was like, okay, good to she's see like, ya.
No, but you know what? This is the thing. This episode is about Betty and Veronica. It is not about Jughead. I'm sorry. You get your own screen time. This is for the girls, okay?
This one's for the girlies. No, I hear that. But he could have at least been like, okay, good to see you.
He even says it after. Like, he even says, like, after he does get a bit of airtime, too. So, like, it's fine.
Right, it's fine. He'll be okay. So then it cuts to the Cooper residence. And she gets home. And there's a mother effing priest at this motherfucking house.
Oh, my God.
And Alice is like, he's here to hear your confessions. She's like, why would I be needing to confess? And then she realizes that all of her freaking diaries are sitting on the counter table, like on the table.
Alice disgusts me.
So annoying. And the thing is, I guess if you want to talk about parallels, the same thing happened in the other series. Like she opened this, like it was a whole thing, right? So, anyway, so she's like, did you read my diaries? Are you doing this because Mr. Werther's? And she says, she's like, well, I was prescribed to like read your diaries. She's like, what the fuck? Like, you guys are breaking and entering because you got prescribed to check in on my private information because of Mr. Werther's. So she gets pissed off. She leaves. And then she decides that she's going to break into his office as a little bit of a comeback, like a take back.
Yeah.
So the next scene is,
and it's like that good old Betty.
Yeah.
Like it's that good old Betty investigative. What did they used to call her? Anyways, whatever.
Stealthy Betty.
Like Nancy Drew or something.
Yes.
With her little hairpin. Remember the bobby pin?
The bobby pin girl.
Yeah.
We're like, so she breaks into his office at night. And I love this scene because she uses her iconic bobby pin, but it's almost like its origin story because she doesn't know, she's never done it before.
Yes.
So
yes.
She's like, this always works in like the books. Like, in we'll like see the if Nancy it works.
Thing books. Yeah. It was a cute little nod to all the seasons before.
Yeah. I love that it opened. She opens it up and she finds all this confiscated stuff. She finds like a knife, she finds a comic books, and then she finds a book called Lolita that's like sitting in the back of the drawer. She takes it. She also goes to visit Jughead. Poor Jughead is like just getting popped in on. She's like, hey, do you know anything about this book? And he's like, yeah, it's a really like racy book, very controversial, just came out. And she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go read it. Like, it's about like a young girl and like a man.
Like a 12-year-old girl and like the teacher or like the therapist or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I know that it's quite a iconic like book for people to read in like the literary world. Like people have like opposing opinions about it and like they see it in different ways. So I've never read it before, but anyways, she goes home, she reads it, then it cuts to Riverdale High, and Veronica is advertising the Crawling Eye movie. She brings in her own projector, she presses play, and she's like, y'all, this movie's gonna be playing at the Babylonium, only 1 week, like come see it. And Cheryl obviously is like, like that movie came out 2 years ago. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, okay, cool.
But Veronica sells it. Like she sells truly it. Sells it.
I'm like, I want to go.
She's like, it is an experience of 4D, no longer 3D. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? Like,
she sells like four dimensions.
She sold it. And again, like I'm in this moment where I'm like, okay, how is she going to sell this? What is she going to say? Like, what, is she going to bribe everyone? But, like, she bribes them, kind of. But, like, she also, like, sells it really well.
Yeah, she totally sells it. Did you notice that Dilton had a random line where he was like, the fourth dimension is time? And I was like, okay, thank you.
Oh, my God. Now that I just felt
like
it was
very, like, specific thing to say about the fact that, like, time and we're in the 50s. Dude,
I wonder if the theater is going to have a connection to, like, how they jump back into, like, the timeline.
Oh, like there's a connection to the Babylonian.
Maybe through films. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's some connection there. 4D
experience.
Yeah.
This is our 4D experience.
That's a good catch. I didn't think about it, but when you said it. That.
Maybe.
That's good. And she's like, shut up, Dilton.
She's like, I'm advertised my movie. You're coming or not. So anyway, so she sells it to the class. Then it shows her like talking to Clay and Kevin. She's like, they're like doing like fucking poor paper mache on this like
on giant balls,
giant balls.
The balls.
And she also hires Reggie and Archie to help her.
She's like, I have a job for you. And they're like, what is it? And she's like, it's just like for like a minute, okay?
And it was cute because Archie was starting off like,
yeah,
like, no, we can't, like, we're busy. And then Reggie's like, well, what is it? And then he was like, yeah, like, what is it?
Yeah, what is it? Like, we can help you, I guess. It was so cute. It was
cute. It was really cute because, like, that's what I want to see when I see Reggie, 100%. Archie, and Veronica on screen together. Like, it's so adorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it cuts to the Babylonium. The movie plays, everything's happening. They have their 3D glasses on, like old school 3D glasses on. And the monster, I guess, is supposed to come out. There's like smoke coming up from the bottom.
I was getting so excited. I was like, this is crazy.
And then Reggie and Archie, obviously in these like scary eyeball monster outfits, which are the same monsters from the movie, come out and like, yeah, go into the crowd, like, out of and, like, the attack fog people.
And they start like touching people, and then people started laughing, like Cheryl, yeah, was like laughing the whole time. I thought it was so well done.
Yeah, it was really, really well done, because especially for that time, like now when nothing gags us, like, yeah, in this generation, like everything's like virtual reality, holograms, whatever, like Tupac on stage. But like the fact that in the 50s, like, these things were being tested and tried in theaters, yeah, I don't know if this specific thing happened, but like trying to bring a new experience to a moviegoer at that time.
Like, logistically, I don't know how she got the fog to go, like, underneath people's seats. I'm not going to, yeah, ask questions. Yeah, but I bought it, and I was, like, I was living for it. I was, like, good job. Like,
it was cute. Was and, like, sick. The little, like you were saying, the little montage of everybody laughing and having a good time. Yeah. And, like, this is what people love about the movies, like, the enjoyment of that crowd experience. So anyway, so super success. Great job, Veronica. She's like sitting at the top of the booth. She's like, yes,
we enjoy my movies.
So then it cuts to Betty and going to see Dr. Werther's, and she confronts him about the Lolita book. She's like, I found this in your office. Yeah. What the F are you doing? Like, and then she basically tells him, like, you're the one that's sexually crazed. I don't feel comfortable being in a room with you, knowing that you're like this weirdo who like reads these books. And like she made a lot of really good points, basically saying like, I don't know what you're doing with those notes. Like, for all I know, you're reading our notes like after our therapy sessions and like doing something sexual to those. I
loved this scene, like loved it.
And I think there's a part of me that was like, obviously you have to like do these things because he is a creep, but like we're the only ones that know he's a creep.
Yeah,
she's just discovering this now. Yeah. So for the fact that she like came and had to say it, I was like, well, yeah, obviously you need to like go after this motherfucker. He's a fucking weirdo. But she didn't know any of these things. And the fact that she like snapped back and she like threatened him, it was like, bro, you, yeah, better watch it. Don't try that shit with me. And he was like, fuck, there's a student coming after me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she leaves. She's like, bye, I'm out. Then it cuts back to the Babylonium, and Archie and Reggie are talking to Veronica, and they're like, so about this gig, because she's like excited because there's like more shows coming up. Everybody's excited to watch the next version, like the next showing. And they're like, we can't do this. We got to do like basketball. Like, we can't have this. Like, we can't do this anymore. And she's like, okay, fine, I'll give you more money. And he's like, no, but like, it's not about the money. Like, we just can't do it. And then there's like some weird like, I don't even really know what happened, because she's like, I don't really care about you, I care about the balls. I was like, but they didn't make the balls, so don't you own the balls? Like, I didn't.
Yeah, what? No, I think what she was trying to say was like, you're like, I could get like rid of you. She's like, it's okay. She's like, at the end of the day, like, it's about the eyeballs.
Right.
And she's like, I could get Kevin and Clay to like put them on and like dress and like do your part.
Right. But why even have the conversation? Like, it was such a random conversation.
I think they're just maybe trying to show that, like, she is sort of, like, business savvy in a sense, too. Like, here she was trying to meet them in the middle. She's like, I'll pay you a little bit more. And they still were like, nah. And she's like, okay, then I'm out. Like, this business deal isn't going to happen.
Yeah, she's like,
and that's fine.
Okay. So, I thought it was kind of random to be like, okay, but, like, sure, businesswoman, let's do it.
I think they probably had to have that in there to establish that like Reggie and Archie aren't going to be there full time. Like, they aren't going to be a part of this. They just kind of came to help out in this one episode, and like moving forward,
yeah,
they're not going to always be there.
And also it gives us a little moment with Reggie and Veronica again, yes, at the, yeah, very end. So Archie leaves, Reggie goes and talks to Veronica and he asks her out again. He's like, so I know that it didn't work out last time. We're like, do you want to do something? And this time she has to decline and say, sorry, boo. I'm going to be busy tonight. Did you see downstairs? Yeah. I'm going to be like busy. Let's try again tomorrow. Like, why don't you come by and let's see what happens.
So that's the thing. Like, she says that and he's like, okay. And then he kind of like starts to walk away. And then she's like, actually, you know what? No, like come by tomorrow. And then like, we can see if we can do something. So I do think she's really still trying. She's trying to, he's still trying, but like, we still haven't gotten anywhere. So
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Curious to see what happens.
It's it is a nice back and forth that they're having. So, and it's like not to anybody's fault. It's more just like, she's literally,
I do feel like they're really different. Like, I do feel they're so different in this timeline than they were before, because he's not into all that stuff. Point. Like, he's not into all the business stuff and the money, and like, he's like a farm boy and like, he wants to play sports.
Yeah.
So I feel that disconnect there. Because is he ever going to get this? Like, is he ever going to get that she has to go to work and like, she's doing all these things? And like, I don't know if he's going to get that. So I'm curious to see. I'm excited to see if they will still find a way to each other. Right. But in this episode at the end, it made me sad because I felt like they were disconnected.
That's fair. And I think that, like, to your point, he almost feels like another version of Archie in that, like, hometown, like, all-American boy. Obviously, outside of the fact that he's like half Korean, like that aspect, I think that would be a really cool way to bring them together, is the fact that they both technically are from different cultures. And like, having a way to like connect on that level would be a cool way to really bond them together. Because you're right, they don't really have anything else.
No, because like, in the other timeline, they did. They were both that version business of each savvy, other. Yeah, right? Yeah. Like the ballsy, sort of like cocky.
For sure.
So they vibed on that level. But in this version, I'm like, I'm not getting it.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it's very, it's just like a, and also maybe to that whole same point about the fact that, like, you know, she kind of lost out on Archie. Like, Archie's not coming back for her.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like her second chance at like realizing, maybe she'll just realize like, I can't do the rat race. I just need to be a teenager and like, hang out with boys, you know?
And like, maybe to your point, like,
okay,
maybe he'll take her back home and like, she'll see how good his family is and like,
yeah,
how warm they are. And like, you know, to his, about his culture and things like that. And like, maybe that will warm her up and be like, oh my God, this is what a real family feels like, you know?
Right. Yes, exactly. I'd like to see her out on the farm, getting dirty on the farm.
Getting dirty. That Let's simple get that life. Going.
So simple life. Then it cuts to the Cooper residence. Alice talks to Betty about her sessions and says like, you need to keep going. He's going to fix you. And Betty's like, why do you keep pushing me to this random fucking doctor who I said is like a psycho? Why can't you just like talk to me?
So and as she's running for the phone, like Alice is like literally like calling him.
Ready to call. Yeah. And she like literally says like, what's wrong with you? Like, we need to talk. Like, you need to communicate to me. With me. Talk to me, your daughter. Why does it seem like you're afraid of me? And Alice is like about to speak and she like fucking howl out of nowhere, comes upstairs and he's like, stop this conversation right now. Go to your room, Betty. Like, this, the whole stupid thing. He's like, I heard what you said. Your mom is perfect. She's fine. It's you. You're the problem. And then pushes her to her room. But I was just like, could we not just get
a bit more
on the same fucking page
with the right mom now? And daughter. Having said that, like, Hal made a really weird comment, like, you don't know what your mom did for you. And I was like, what does that mean though?
It's like, is there every more parent to this? Says, like, no, all the things that we more. Do for you.
Like, maybe there's more, there's another layer to Alice that we don't know yet and we will find out.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Very, very possible. Will it include Polly? Will it involve her, that girl? I don't know. We'll see. So the next morning, Betty is like, okay, mom, about last night, let's just find like a new path forward. And Alice is like, honestly, I tried to help you with everything. I do all these things for you and you don't want my help. So I'm just going to stop. I am not your mother anymore. I was like, okay, so you're a child. Like, clearly, literally, like, you don't, like, even know how to be a mom. Sounds good.
Petty. So petty.
So petty. So annoying. So now they're even further apart than they were before. I'm just frustrated with the way this is going because I'm just like, can we just... I know that Machen is having her own directorial episode this season. I think it's a couple of episodes from now. I think
she's directed a lot of them so far.
I saw her name specifically on one coming up. No, not a debut. I'm saying like just this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think she's doing an episode coming up, and I feel like she always does ones that have to involve her, the relationship between her and Betty.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
I'm hoping that by then, and I think it's in a couple of episodes. Like we'll see.
Look, we're gonna get a juicy bit. I can feel it.
I don't know how much more I can deal with. Like,
we're going to get a juicy bit. And I feel like Hal is going to be a part of it in some way. Like, there's going to be uncovering of what that is.
The answer to everything. Yeah. So then it cuts to the Babylonium. Reggie has been waiting downstairs with flowers, girls and boys.
Like, but he left already, right? Like,
right now he's just waiting. And Kevin's like, I know, I told her. She's just been busy upstairs on the phone. Like, she said that she'd be back. She'd be down. Then it cuts to her upstairs on the call with the studio. The studio, who, like, basically rejected her earlier, is like, whoa, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, like, we'll write an article about you. And, like, you know, everyone was going to find out. And
like, girl got on Variety magazine. I was like, good for you. Damn, that was fast. And then when she's finally done with the call, they strike a deal. Cool. When she's finally done with the call, she goes downstairs and Reggie's gone.
Gone. And flowers. There's just
flowers are
sitting there on their own.
On their own. Dry.
Drying out and dying.
And so she's sad about that. Then it cuts to her getting home and it gets worse for her. She gets home and she can't even open up her motherfucking door. And
Smithers is just waiting there. Like, he doesn't even like tell her. Like, he waits for her to like try to open the door. He's like,
I was like, what, you like sent her all the way
the
up?
Maybe the third time? Maybe the third time? And then it doesn't work. He's like, oh, by the way, your parents locked you out of the house.
He's like, yeah, about that. So like, you can't change. You can't get in there because like the locks were changed. I was like, they went in there and changed all of the locks within 24 hours. What the hell?
People.
I was like, this is too much. And also, yeah, fuck you, Smithers. Like, you couldn't tell me when I was downstairs coming upstairs. You had to tell me when I was at the fucking front door. So she's like, fine, whatever. I'm going
to
go.
I have a place to go to. Don't worry. I wasn't.
He was like, bye, girl. Your parents don't even pay me enough. So then she goes and like lays in the Babylonium. She like puts up like
so on brand for her, really. Like, it really works out.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I was like, I feel like she sleeps in her businesses all the time.
It's not like Junkin sleeping into the janitor's closet. Like, she's got a movie theater to move to.
Yeah, she's good. She's fine.
She's good.
So she kicks up her feet, she goes to sleep, and she's like, welcome to the new world, whatever. She's excited to like take on her parents, I guess.
Yeah.
Again. So then it cuts to final scene is Pop's diner, and Pops is checking in on Jughead. A really sweet moment. He's like, yo, like, how are you doing?
It's like late at night at this point. It's like,
yeah. And Jughead says, this poor guy, he's like, you know, something that I learned about like reading his books is like, you know, it's all about like time passes, seasons change, and life moves on. Like, I'm not like, you know, I'm still grieving, but like, I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to like not be like stuck. And as soon as he's like, I'm ready to move on, he like gets up from the fucking booth. Everybody's like, stop moving on. You need to help us solve this case. And he's like, fuck.
Sheriff like, Keller walks in and he's like, we could not solve it. Shocker.
Yeah, shocker.
Shocker of the century. Shocker. That you can't save a case in the town that you sheriff. And you need to ask a 15-year-old boy to help you.
Oh my God.
Shocker.
So shocker. He needs help to solve the case. And then, like, the final line is, like, Jughead's like, I guess I'm not moving on. So that is how the episode ends.
That's how it is.
Yeah, overall, just, like, you know, it is an episode. And we are going to move ahead and see
I'm curious to see what you guys, our listeners, think about this one. I do feel like there's going to be mixed feelings of, like, some people are going to, like it. Some people are going to say it was, it was, you know... we haven't really progressed, but I do feel like we are, and I did enjoy it. So
like, what is progression?
Like, exactly.
I'm gonna pull
rushing like to the end, and the end's gonna be shit.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull a Dilton Doyle and be like, time is the fourth dimension. Like, who knows? What does this all mean? Yeah. Like, maybe it's all whatever. Like, let's just go with it. Is it cool? Cool. We're cool. That's how I feel about it. Cool.
Cool.
Let's get into our recap roundups.
Recap roundups.
Best moment. My best moment was Veronica's 4D moment. I think all of that was just so exciting. I didn't know where she was really going to go with it. I didn't know how successful she was going to be with it. So to see her really like get to the end and like she thrived, I loved it. And yeah. like the style of the filming and like fun everything watch, was just yeah. so fun. Yeah.
Fun moment. My best moment is going to Betty breaking into the doctor's office because it felt very like iconic old school Betty breaking into an office. She uses her bobby pin. Like I just was loved happy it. To see it.
WTF moment.
What's your WTF moment?
WTF moment. It was hard to choose one. Like, I didn't know what to pick, but I guess the back and forth between, like, Veggie, just because I didn't know where it was going next. And I'm like, okay, yes, like, maybe no, this time it'll yes, work. Maybe no. this time they'll go on a date. Maybe this time. And it didn't happen like that. And so I don't know what that means for them moving forward. I don't know if it's too late. Like, maybe Reggie's, like, over it now.
Right, right.
And I hope not, obviously. So definitely excited to see... like what actually happens with those two
between the two of them. Yeah.
And then I will have to say like Betty's first sexual memory caught me off guard because I was like, homie was playing Operation.
We're not gonna talk about that one. Yeah.
Oh, it was funny.
That's funny. My WTF moment is going to Veronica getting locked out of her fucking place.
Yeah.
Like within 5 minutes, like literally it's been 2 seconds and she gets locked out of her damn house. And the fact that Smithers was like, sorry, boo, you're out. Your parents hate you. Bye.
Get locked up.
MVP. My MVP is Veronica. Because
Veronica,
as you can see, all the things that she did in this episode, she was amazing. And it's always, and I know yours, you know, you'll say yours next, but it's always really nice when the sort of focus, the characters that are in focus of the episode end up being the MVPs.
Yeah.
Because right? sometimes it's not always the case, right? Like they're the focus and then they're like, you don't.
They're like, they were the most annoying or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really happy that we're on this side of things where like the girls end up being the MVPs of their episode. So
the girls were grilling. I'm just saying.
They were. Yeah.
They were grilling. And yeah, to your point, Betty is my MVP. So a little B&V moment
loved between it.
You and me and B&J.
And yeah, like even though they didn't have like that traditional iconic like B&V like investigative thing,
yeah.
I think it still worked for what it, you know, what it was.
Yeah, I think that Betty also like finally taking control and yeah. making the realize like she had a year of realizing Kylie yes. Jenner style.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to see her like move past this like chapter. Now she's got to tackle her next monster, which is her mom, which like let's slay this dragon for the final fucking time so we can like end it.
LVP.
So my LVP is gonna be obviously Sheriff Keller. That's an obvious LVP for once again not being able to solve any murders in his town. He's terrible. But I will, kind of speaking through this whole podcast with you, we didn't once mention Tabitha. And you know, you can chalk it up to logistics of filming and production Tony. But what I'm going to say is for Tabitha to support Jughead, like she was non-existent.
True.
Like I would have loved if she walked in and she kind of like saw him being like sad and be like, are you okay? Like, and then maybe that was it for her.
Right.
But like there was none of that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see her show up a little bit for him, especially knowing that like his mentor just died.
Right.
So that I would say maybe Tabitha this week.
I do feel like maybe like that will be like what comes next. Like they'll be the next like investigators on this. Like I think
so. I just missed. He'll probably this pull episode. Her in.
Yeah, it's true. Even for like a moment.
Yeah.
My LVP is going to be like just like half the parents of Riverdale, Alice, and also the ones that we have not seen on screen yet, the Lodge parents. Hermione and Hiram, you guys suck balls. I'm just really sad about that part. And I really, and like to your point, even talking it through, I'm going to be very sad and disappointed if they're bringing, you know, Mark and Consuelos and our girl back from like
Marisol
Nichols. Just so they can be crappy parents. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Why even have like a resolve at this
but
point?
But you know just they're going to be like funny. Like, you know they're going to be crappy but funny. But I'm going to be annoyed at that because I'm going to be like, you ditched your daughter this whole time.
Yeah. I'd rather them come back for the final episode where everybody realizes that this is all just a fucking dream because at this point, that's all I'm hoping for.
The best line. Best line, there was a couple. So my first one was from Betty when she says, when she was like doing her hair clip.
Yeah.
The bobby pin. She's like, this always works in the Tracy True books.
Yeah.
I forgot that she was called that Crazy girl. True. And then my next two are from Veronica. And when she's talking to Reggie and Archie, and she says, because I respect your moxie and your balls, I'll pay you $2 per show going forward. And then she follows it up with, I'll get Kevin and Clay to do the gag. You can leave your balls with them. I just thought it was so funny.
And she delivered, like you said, she delivered it so well.
So good. Yeah.
Mine are going to be two, both from Betty. The first one is, I don't think it's about being seen just sexually. I think it's more just about being seen, period. Being seen as a person with autonomy and desire and self-determination. And then the other one that she says, I'm just now realizing that I don't think I want to get married, at least not anytime soon, maybe never. I want to make an impact on the world instead of, or in addition to, just having a family. And I don't know. I thought that whoever wrote really that was done. Really trying to say something, and they said it. So good for you. I loved it.
Yeah, we took what they put down. That's definitely what happened this week.
Took it.
Okay, we have some recap roundups from our listeners.
Yes.
Do you have Twitter open or do you want me to read it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any tweeters open. While you do that, I'll do the next one.
Okay, so we have our girl on Twitter, at Mackenzie L. Burns. Her best moment, Betty standing up to Werther's. WTF moment, Betty's dream and how they involved Archie as the main star after his OG experience. MVP, Betty. LVP, Werther/Alice. Best line, we have basketball practice. We have games. Archie turning down a job. The man who has 50 jobs runs away from me. Yeah, it's very true. From Sierra N. Okay, so MVP, right? 709. Want to make sure you got the right episode.
That's the right episode.
I think I enjoyed overall Veronica's story more, but Betty's story had singular moments that hit a lot harder. I think Veronica's hit or miss for me, and this episode, she hit. She was so fun to watch. Betty standing up for herself at the end was so empowering, and I didn't mind the direction they took with her character despite some of the issues I had and still have. Also, Lily and Cammy stole the episode for me. Both are killing it. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
LVP, Alice/Dr. Werther's. I genuinely have no idea how Alice will ever come back from this, although I'm glad we got some vulnerability from her this episode, and I hope we get more of it, because so far, if we ever get back to 2020s, I'm going to have a hard time believing Alice will be easily forgiven. Yeah. Also, Dr. Werther's was just so creepy and uncomfortable to watch, though I guess that means the writers and the actor did a good job, because it seems like that was the intention for sure. Like, he disgusts me.
Gross.
Best moment, the scene between Alice and Betty before Hal interrupts them. Mm-hmm. I'm glad Alice is starting to crack and show a softer side, because again, I don't know how she's ever going to come back from this. And overall, I thought both were showing some great acting, and I was really interested in where it was going. I'm wondering which route they're taking with Alice, whether it'll be the I was a serpent and got teen pregnant with Charles and I don't want you to be like me, like in season two, or Hal is a serial killer and grooming you to be one and I want to protect you from that. Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah, there's so many things that happened to her that she had to do.
Yeah,
like, or it's both again.
WTF moment, the Betty teacher fantasy. I think that was just completely inappropriate and unnecessary. I think they could have chosen any other type of scenario for Betty to fantasize about. The fact that we are yet again putting Archie into a sexual situation with a teacher after the Grundy fiasco is in really bad taste, and I was very uncomfortable. I never liked the glamorizing of teacher-student relationships, and I was hoping we were past that in season six when they addressed it, but to see it again was just off-putting.
That's a really, really, really good
point. I thought it was
pretty
inappropriate, too. Like, I get it, it's the show, but, like, I was like, why are we going to this, though? Like,
yeah. She couldn't be another student? Like, she didn't have, like, it is very odd
and
that they
like,
would have gone that direction with it.
What's the symbolism of her being a teacher? Like, is it because she's, like, this motherly figure for everyone? Like, she kind of takes care of everyone?
Right.
Like, what's the symbolism of her being the teacher? She could have just been a student.
I don't know.
It was weird. I thought it was a little weird, too.
Yeah, that's a really good call out though. I never really like looked at it, but that's a very good point.
Overall, this episode was fine. There was some good development, but I'm still concerned that this is all just time wasting, as I really wish we'd get even just a hint of going back to the 2020s. As I said before, I'd hope this be a WandaVision / Don't Worry Darling situation where things start to slowly unravel, but we aren't getting any of that. So far, it just feels like Arias is doing a bunch of stuff he regrets not doing season 1 to 4. Very Ooh, good point. You said it.
Arias you on said this it. Podcast, bro.
Yep.
I mean, that's not unfamiliar on I this love podcast that. For sure, but yeah, that's very, that was really very good. True.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your roundups. We always appreciate them. And I guess we're now closing up this MRFing podcast. I would like this time to take to thank our Patreons of this episode.
You
our
good?
Rewinders. I'm like, ooh.
I'm going to take my time with this.
Yeah. Our Rewinder Squad, White, Cliff, Hannah, Julia, and Haley. Our Lit Rewinders, Tina, Ann, and Kate. And our Mommy Rewinders, Becca, Sarah.
Thank you so much, guys, for always supporting us. If you'd like to join our Patreon family, check us out at patreon.com/recap_rewind.
And also make sure you're checking us out on all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. You can also find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. Like, subscribe, follow, review, and comment to stay engaged with us at Recap Rewind. Thank you so much for watching.
Bye. Bye.